When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
And Jerry's back.
Yeah. Where's that little plastic clappy machine?
We can just... Jerry's back.
Yeah.
Jerry, can I mention, had surgery on her back.
To add a third limb.
She does not have a third limb. But she is spent a while on her back recuperating, then eventually was in a chair, and now she's walking around.
And now she can do push-ups with that third arm coming out of her back. It's pretty awesome.
But soon enough, Jerry will be, like, pain-free for the first time this year, which is very exciting.
Yes. But for the time being, she's on some pretty dynamite pills.
Oh, yeah?
Have you tried to talk to her? Jerry, how you doing over there?
So, welcome back, Jerry. We didn't know how much we missed you until you were gone.
For real.
All right.
Again, the applause.
That's about as much sentiment as we allow.
I know. You know. My throat dried up.
Boo.
I had like some sort of adverse reaction to that.
All right. Let's do this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Fine, let's.
Davy Crockett. I should point out, first off, that when I was a kid visiting my grandparents in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Davy Crockett land.
Yeah.
I have a great picture, and people always say, like, why don't you ever post the pictures you talk about? But I have this great picture of me when I was, like, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Coonskin cap, fringe vest.
Wow.
Boots, little plastic Bowie knife, long muzzle-loading musket.
I think I know this, the very musket you're talking about.
Yeah, so I was just like totally rigged out and obsessed with watching the old Davy Crockett show, even though it was like 1975,
right?
And that show ran in the 50s. It was one of those deals like we still grew up on Gilligan's Island, all these older shows.
Well, yeah, I think Disney, Walt Disney Presents or something like that, they reran a lot of that stuff years later.
Yeah, I was way into it.
That's awesome.
Because I was into camping early on, and it was just, it really... fit the bill for me. I love the song, the whole deal.
Yeah. I had a coonskin cap too, but.
So did Jerry.
The only, yes, she did. The only extra accoutrement I had was a deer skin water bag filled with wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A Boda bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have one, but Emily does, and she still puts wine in it and sneaks it into concerts.
What else is it for?
All right. So let's do it.
So Chuck, you made reference to Davy Crockett from the 50s, the Disney thing.
Yeah, not Daniel Boone.
No, Daniel Boone was prior to Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett became Daniel Boone's successor as the personification of the American push westward.
Yeah.
For a long time, Davy Crockett personified the conquering of the Indian.
Yeah.
The wrestling of the bear.
Yeah.
The taming of this land and through America. America.
Yeah, although he spent like his entire life in Tennessee pretty much.
No, that's not true.
He went to Texas some.
He did, but he spent a lot of time in Alabama and actually homesteaded there for a little while around Talladega.
Not for too long, though.
For long enough.
Like his family in Tennessee are all very adamant about him being a lifelong Tennessee guy.
Right, and
in his heart, maybe.
He would agree with that entirely.
Sure.
He was born in Tennessee, near Knoxville.
East Tennessee, yeah, Greene County.
Yeah, he spent most of his life there. Even when he R-U-N-N-O-F-T He was in Tennessee, yeah. I believe, for the most part. His autobiography was titled David Crockett of Tennessee.
Parentheses, really.
Yeah, not Alabama.
Yeah, he went to West Tennessee for a while, too. We'll get to all this. But
yeah, let's go back to the Disney.
He's
thing.
A volunteer.
So 20 years after, yeah, he is. Is that where it came from? Him?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. But because he did volunteer.
Oh, maybe. You never know. Maybe it didn't.
I wonder if that was like kind of a thing and it wasn't just him. But yeah, the Tennessee is the volunteer state and Davy Crockett was a big time volunteer.
Or maybe he felt pressured to because he was in Tennessee. He's like, I really.
The peer pressure state.
I don't want to, but I guess I must.
Yeah. So Disney, I'm talking about Disney, whether you like it or not.
No, let's do it. I love that show.
So 20 years after Disney runs 5 episodes, that's the run of the Davy Crockett show.
Yeah.
There was only 5 episodes.
I even looked that up because I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah.
I saw 100 of them.
Yeah. No, you saw those 5 20 times each.
I did.
So they ran from 1954 to 1955. And you as a kid in 1975, one full year before I was born, by the way.
Yeah, I was 4.
Was still watching it. Mm-hmm. Loving this stuff. So it had staying power. But what had even more staying power was Davy Crockett himself. Because the Disney thing ran a full 115 years after Davy Crockett died.
Yeah.
He was already kind of a legend in his own time as well. But this Disney thing, there was Disney Davy Crockett fever in the mid-50s.
Yeah, they supposedly at its peak, 5,000 coonskin caps a day were selling
kids. Within a couple of months of the premiere of the first Davy Crockett episode, $100 million had been made off of the Davy Crockett franchise.
$1954.
Yeah, he just came on like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, and of course, you know the coonskin cap, if you are a fan of The Simpsons, Jebediah Springfield is ensconced in, what is it, bronze? Is that a bronze statue?
I can't really tell.
It's on TV in a cartoon form, so it's a statue.
Yeah.
And we don't know for sure if he actually wore a coonskin cap.
He did.
Well, what I saw. I saw that Daniel Boone did not for sure, and Davy Crockett more likely wore wildcat or fox and possibly coonskin on occasion.
Okay. I was going to say that it was very apropos that that picture of you all dolled up like Davy Crockett was taken in Memphis. Because that is supposedly the first time he wore the little fringy hunting shirt and the coonskin cap when he headed out from Memphis to Texas, which we'll talk about later. That's what I saw.
Man alive, this is interesting.
But I think this illustrates a really great point about Davy Crockett. There are few people who definitively lived who have more legends and possible half-truths swirling around them than Davy Crockett.
Yeah, I think some people out there might even think that he wasn't even a real dude. It was just like a tall tale guy.
Yeah.
You know?
He very much lived.
And we got to mention the song. Well, first of all, Fess Parker starred as Davy Crockett. Fess Parker also starred as Daniel Boone.
Is that right?
I guess they were like...
It's typecast is what that is.
Sure. And he also... The TV theme song was sung by the Wellingtons, the famous song, King of the Wild Frontier.
Yeah.
But in 1955... 4 different people recorded it, and all 4 of them in the same year recorded the same song, landed in the top 10. That's how popular that song was.
Or that's how just kind of undemanding audiences were in the 50s, the radio audiences.
Yeah, maybe so. But Fess Parker did one of the versions. He also sang. Yeah.
Man, that guy made some dough off of Davy Crockett, didn't
Unbelievable.
He?
Unbelievable.
Ironically, he was afraid of snakes, Fess Parker.
Was he really? Isn't that a wine, too, Fess Parker? Isn't that a winery?
Not that I know of. That's a dingy winery right there. It's wine past your Fess Parker's coonskin cap.
There's some winery that has a name similar to that.
Fess Parker.
Yeah, I don't know. Tess Parker. I don't know. I know I'm getting it confused.
So tell them about the Davy Crockett, the U.S. Army's Davy Crockett.
That was a rocket.
Did you see that thing?
No. Is it cool?
Yeah,
it was in the 1960s, the Army. It was a... artillery launcher, lightweight, that fired mortars that had nuclear warheads, and they called it the Davy Crockett.
Yeah, it fired 70-pound nuclear warheads. That's what it was designed to do. And they never deployed it, but it was basically a bunch of pipes that, like, you drive up on your Jeep about 1 to 2 miles away from the enemy in Europe, the Ruskies, I guess.
Yeah.
And assembled this thing real quick and dropped a 70-pound warhead mortar in it and shot it off onto the enemy.
It was never used, though?
Not as far as I know. It was tested.
Wow.
And there's pictures of, like, I mean, it might as well be like a G.I. Joe drawing. Like the pictures of this thing being tested with, like, the Jeep and the guy standing next to it. And there's like it's just cool.
I'll have to check that out.
But yeah, luckily, I don't think anyone's ever set off a warhead on anybody in battle aside from Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Aside from us.
Right.
All right.
Davy Crockett.
Shameful. All right. So he was born in Tennessee in 1786. At 12 years old, his dad sent him off to this dude, Jacob Siler, to help drive cattle to Virginia.
Yeah.
And like, you know, as a 12-year-old, like they were working hard back then.
Oh, yeah.
And this dude, the job ended up, ended. And the Silas guy, like, forcibly detained him as, like, a slave of sorts.
Yeah, basically.
And he was like, screw this. I'm going to hike 7 miles in the snow out of here in the middle of the night.
What's crazy is in 2 hours.
Yeah, he ran it.
I don't even think I could run on a flat plane 7 miles in 2 hours.
Well, they don't write songs and TV shows about you, though.
No, they don't.
Actually, we did have a TV show and a song about us.
Yeah, but we commissioned it virtually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So he drops out of school. Well, he does a lot of hooky, and his dad gets pretty ticked off at him. So he's like, basically, I'm going to leave home at a young age because I'm not into the schooling thing.
Yeah, across his lifetime, he became a very successful person.
Yeah.
And he kind of wore the fact that he didn't have much schooling as a badge of honor. Like, he was very proud of how far he'd gotten in life without formal education. As a kid, he hated school, is the impression I have.
Yeah, he called it a strategic withdrawal and left for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Came home like a grown person.
He was like 16.
And his family was like, who is this larger version of my son that left? And they forgave him, and it was all good.
Yeah, he actually stuck around and helped work off some of his father's $76 debt for a year and went to school as a peace offering for another 6 months and then said, okay, that's it. Forget it. I'm going to go make my own way. And this is when he begins to volunteer.
That's right.
Volunteered with the Tennessee Militia.
Yeah, his military career started there. Lots of militia action going on. Like, he was in a bunch of different militias, it seemed like.
Yeah, and what he was part of is one of the more despicable parts of American history, the removal of Indians, specifically in this case the Southern Indians, from their lands. There was a lot of land in what are now the Southern United States, the Southeastern United States, that was ripe for cotton growing. And there were a lot of people who wanted that land.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of treaties, basically. The militias would go in, battle the Creeks or the Choctaws or the Cherokees or whoever, and then after their defeat would force a treaty on them. And Andrew Jackson, who later became president, was personally responsible for 9 of 11 treaties between 1814 and 1824.
Which means 9 of 11 Indian massacres.
Basically,
Native American massacres.
Yeah, and there are massacres on both sides, and Davy Crockett actually took place in one of the massacres, a retributive massacre, right?
Yeah, I think that was his first military duty. He enlisted to avenge the attack on Fort Mims, Alabama, and with Andrew Jackson, did so. Indian massacre.
Right.
Very sad.
Yeah, it was. The name of the town was Tallahatchie, and it was in Alabama.
Yeah.
And I believe they killed about 200 Indian men, and 84 women and children were captured. And then whoever was left alive, I guess Andrew Jackson came in and negotiated a treaty.
Yeah, they probably kept one man alive to sign the treaty.
Right, exactly. And it basically said, all the rest of you have to get off this land, but you can go west. And then as this happened time and time again, more and more Americans moved south and established plantations around this time.
Right.
So that's the context of what was going on when Davy Crockett was volunteering with the militia, basically.
Yeah, and it seemed like he really hopped all over the place between, like, some military militia work. Because these are, when you enlisted, it was like a 90-day enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, like, years and years. And then, like, some political work, before he, you know, got real serious, he was a town commissioner for a little while. He was a justice of the peace for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So he was just sort of floating around, a little militia work, a little political work.
Indian fighting.
Yeah, he was a man of many fringe jackets, I guess.
He really was. Well, before we keep going, you want to do a message break?
Yeah, I think it's a good time. And then things get serious for Davy Crockett.
Yeah.
Stuff you should know.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
So we were talking, Chuck, about how Davy Crockett wore many, many hats.
Sure. Many coonskin caps.
And we want to say also that although he was an Indian fighter and actually became very much respected as one, that's part of his initial legend was that he was an Indian fighter.
Yeah.
Which was very much admired among Americans at the time.
Sure.
He eventually parted from that image very publicly. But first he kind of had to create a public platform to do that on, I guess. Right?
Yeah, he was a commissioner for a while in Tennessee, and then he was elected to the Tennessee legislature. Mm-hmm. And then, finally, in 1825, he won a seat in Congress.
Yeah.
His first, like, he was actual congressional representative for Tennessee.
Was it 1825? I thought it was 1827.
1827, that's right. And he served two terms.
Yeah.
And then lost basically the third term because he came out so vehemently opposed to what Jackson was doing with, like, taking back the land.
Yeah. So the Supreme Court ruled that that Native Americans had a right to occupancy. Yes,
right.
They can live in North America, but that is trumped by Americans' right of discovery. Somehow they decided that we discovered this land that you already lived on, which trumps your right to live on it.
Did that anyone ever say, no, we discovered it because we're here.
Right, and they were cut down where they stood, probably.
Yeah.
The issue of Indian removal in this time was being played out in the courts. Andrew Jackson becomes president, gets the Indian Removal Act passed through, which basically says, I'm the president, I deal with treaties with Indians, I'm taking this out of the hands of the courts, and I'm, by the way, Andrew Jackson, and you know how I feel about Indian removal.
Yeah.
Y'all can get out west.
Right.
Right? And apparently this is egregious enough to make Davy Crockett say, you know what? I'm totally rethinking this land use policy, this land grab, the Indian Removal Act. And even though we're both from Tennessee, mm-hmm. and we're both in the same political party, I'm publicly separating myself from you and your policies, Mr. President.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
Well, he lost because of it.
He did, but he lost very narrowly. I believe 252 votes.
Yeah, it was close. And actually, we have a video series, people, called Trapped in a Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And in this week's Trapped in a Meeting, we learned that while Andrew Jackson was in office, he had an assassination attempt on his life. And Davy Crockett this guy, like this mentally ill guy, went to shoot Andrew Jackson on the steps of the Capitol, I think.
Yeah, remember we talked about in the insanity defense episode.
Yeah, and Davy Crockett was one of the guys who subdued. He like jumped into action because he's Davy Crockett.
Yeah, even though they already opposed one another politically at this point.
He's still going to help save the president.
Sure.
Stand-up guy.
Yeah, Davy Crockett was, it turned out to be a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
So he loses that after, for his third consecutive term, he loses his bid, and he goes off and starts making money by making and selling barrel staves, like the slats you use to make whiskey and wine barrels.
Yeah.
Which apparently is pretty lucrative at the time.
Yeah, plus he almost died doing it, though.
Yeah.
It was a boat wreck on the Mississippi River carrying those barrel staves, and he almost died then, and he almost died earlier in his life when he had malaria.
When he was homesteading in Alabama.
Yeah, so he was a rough and tumble guy.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Supposedly, also during this time, he killed 105 bears in a year.
Yeah, killed him one when he was only three.
Which, that's a Disney legend. And
sure.
Also, we should say that the idea that he was a king of the wild frontier, that term, that label came directly from Disney as well.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't wrestle a bear when he was only three, but he was a very well-known bear hunter. Whether he killed 105 or not, that's kind of up for debate. But if you want to read his firsthand account of it, there's an awesome article called Bear Hunting in Tennessee, Davy Crockett Tells Tall Tales. It's on George Mason University's website.
Nice.
Check it out. He's a pretty awesome author. He was talking about how he's hunting with his eight dogs, and his dogs are the best dogs on the planet, flushing out bear. And he saw some other fellas come up, and they wanted to hunt with them, and they had like 20 dogs, but all the dogs were terrible. He said they couldn't bark at a bear without having to lean up against a tree to rest for a little while. So he left the dogs behind and let them chew on some bear bones, and he took his dogs out. It's just awesome. Like, this guy is a totally uneducated frontiersman who also went to Congress and kind of a humorist, too.
Yeah, I think the song actually originally went, hike 7 miles in the snow in 2 hours when he was only 12.
Right.
And they're like, let's just make something up.
Killed him a bear. It wasn't even killed. It's K-I-L-T.
Kilt him a bar.
Yeah.
B-A-R. Yeah. Boy, that song is still just like instantly comes to my head.
Yeah.
The lyrics and everything. So he lost his third congressional bid. And then he starts gaining more fame and notoriety. And this is at a time where, you know, it was pre-internet.
Yeah.
Was it pre-internet?
A little.
It was pre-internet. And it was a time where it was, you know, it wasn't the easiest thing to gain this kind of notoriety. Like, that just shows how popular he was. Like, he was one of the most famous people in the country.
Yeah.
They had these Davy Crockett almanacs published.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of books written about him. One lied and said that it was an autobiography.
Yeah.
To sell books.
And the almanacs actually came out of that. They used that book as the basis of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that just kind of perpetuated all these lies. And since it was attributed to him, that gave him a reputation for spinning tall tales about himself, which he didn't necessarily, that wasn't necessarily untrue. He just didn't spin them quite as much as other people did about him.
There was a play by James Kirk Paulding called The Lion of the West, and the character Nimrod Wildfire was based on Davy Crockett. And he finally did get together with a, because as you said, he wasn't educated, so he got a little help.
Mm-hmm.
But he eventually did write his own autobiography with the help of a co-author.
Yeah, he did. And you can very much compare it to Barack Obama writing The Audacity of Hope, because it was released at a time when the Whigs were starting to tout Davy Crockett as a possible challenger, I guess, to Andrew Jackson for the presidency.
Right. A Narrative of the Life of Davy Crockett of the State of Tennessee by Thomas Chilton and mm-hmm. Davy Crockett was the official one.
Yeah. So the problem is, Chuck, he didn't win his reelection bid, so his idea of going into the presidency, the primary, I guess, in 1836.
Was that his plan?
Yeah, he was going along with that, and some of the Whigs were like, let's do it.
Yeah.
But since he was knocked out of Congress in 1835, he did make a third trip back to Congress from 1833 to 1835.
Right.
But then he was defeated by
a peg leg lawyer.
Yeah, named Adam Huntsman.
Yeah.
Very narrowly. But he lost. So I think at that point he was like, I'm kind of done with Congress for a while.
Yeah, and that his losing to that peg leg lawyer, as he was dubbed, it gave rise to his famous quote, since you have chosen to elect a man with a timber toe to succeed me, you may all go to hell and I will go to Texas.
Yeah.
And he was basically like, I want to go check out Texas and see what's out there.
Yeah.
You know, this was like, he didn't go westward, like, you know, to California or anything like that. Like, Texas was super west at the time.
Yeah. And it was a Mexican state that was, in a struggle for independence. There was a rebellion going on there.
Yeah. That's not why he went though.
No.
Apparently he got caught up in that, but he went there just to explore and was going to settle down with his family and just, you know, live on the land.
Right.
And he said,
there's a lot of money to be made there.
Well, yeah, he said, what I've seen of Texas, there is a world of country here to settle. I had rather be in my present situation than to be elected to a seat in Congress for life.
Yeah.
So he really thumbed his nose at politics at that time.
Or he was just really happy too with Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
He also, it didn't take very long for him to get there and I guess get caught up in the rebellion that was going on, that really kind of spoke to him in his spirit.
Yeah, they said he loved a good fight.
Yeah.
Like, I think he just couldn't resist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was a bear hunter, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
So he gets there and basically aligns himself with the rebel movement, who ask him and his traveling companion to sign an oath of allegiance to it.
Uh-huh.
And in it, it basically says, like, I, Davy Crockett, am pledge allegiance to this rebellion and any future government that may come out of it. Davy Crockett's like, I'm not signing that unless you put Republican before government.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't about to sign his allegiance over to some, you know, tyrannical government that came out of this rebellion. He didn't know.
Yeah.
So he was one to hedge his bets.
That's right.
Very smartly.
So he signed it and very famously died at the siege of the Alamo, which I know you have visited the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's no basement.
There's no basement. And it's, I always hear from everybody that visits. I have not, how small it is. Everyone's always underwhelmed.
It's basically like one room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yumi took me there and it's in San Antonio. You go in and you're like, it's this lump of history in the middle of downtown San Antonio.
Yeah. And it's like, was this a bank or was it the Alamo?
Yeah. I mean, like there's a couple of side rooms, but it's really just one main room.
Yeah, I always just pictured, you know, some huge fort.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And I'll visit it one day for sure.
The gardens, the grounds are amazing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's very cool. It's worth going to for sure.
Yeah. Well, I love being at historical landmarks.
You know what you should do, South by Southwest? Fly into San Antonio and drive to Austin.
Yeah, that's what you did, right?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
So, the Alamo is great. I'm going to visit. he famously died defending the Alamo, but there are many versions of how that went down. From died surrounded by 16 dead Mexicans that he killed with his hand on a knife in the back of one, to captured and executed to killed at the very beginning of the thing and didn't even see much action.
Yeah.
But we think we have a pretty definitive story.
Yeah, there's some other stuff that he supposedly did do. Like, he was documented as running all over the Alamo, like, keeping everybody animated, keeping them,
where's
like,
the basement? Where's the basement?
Right, exactly. And he supposedly played his fiddle a lot, like very rousing tunes, just tried to keep everyone's spirits and energy up while they were defending this small little building.
Yeah.
He supposedly took out 5 gunners in succession who were trying to shoot a cannon at the Alamo.
Yeah, with old Betsy, his musket.
Yeah, and he also supposedly came very close to hitting Antonio Santa Anna, the general who was leading the siege, but just missed him. Even though Santa Anna thought he was well out of range of the guns of the people in the Alamo.
I see him, but there's no way he can do.
Yeah, exactly. So he did do some stuff. He's documented doing some stuff, probably truthful. But the problem, there was always a problem with how he died, in that he was captured, and a great, brave Indian fighting bear hunter, like, is who represents all of America, isn't supposed to be captured, because if you capture, that means you put your gun down. You didn't die fighting.
Well, I suppose he ran out of bullets and then started clubbing them with his gun, killing them with his, you know, bare hands and a butt of a gun.
Right. So that's the fictitious version.
Yeah.
The other versions from eyewitnesses contradict that. So America long struggled with how Davy Crockett died, and then in 1975, the diary of one of the Mexican army soldiers who was there at the siege was published. And it basically laid to rest, like, yes, Davy Crockett was among those captured.
Yeah, it was 5 or 6 people.
Yep, like everybody else had been killed or were women, basically. And Crockett was among, like, 5 or 6 soldiers who were captured, despite Santa Anna saying, don't take any prisoners.
Yeah.
They did anyway.
Yeah, they did, but he was not the account says that it was not he wasn't shamed, though. He still died bravely. They were bayoneted and shot. And the quote, Peña's quote was...
The Mexican soldier whose diary it was, right?
These unfortunates died without complaining, without humiliating themselves before their torturer. So I think it was like one of those Red Dawn scenes where they start singing America the Beautiful.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
you know, like, you're about to shoot me, but my head is held high.
Yeah.
Or like, who's it we did last week? The lady?
Mata Hari.
Yeah, Mata Hari.
Yeah. Davy Crockett and Mata Hari, they're virtually indistinguishable.
That's right. So his reputation remained intact, and died at the Alamo, and then Walt Disney got a hold of it, and 100 years later became a sensation.
Yeah, I mean, even beyond it remaining intact, dying at the Alamo, defending the Alamo, it's like it mushroom clouded his personality and his reputation's legend.
Yeah.
Like, it just sealed it forever. Like, Davy Crockett, American hero.
King of the Wild Frontier.
Yeah. Timber toe.
No, not a timber toe. I actually had to look that up. I was like, what does that mean? I was like, oh, wooden leg.
Yeah.
Toe, timber.
Timber toe.
Got it.
He was pretty clever.
Yeah.
Oh, and that quote, by the way, was said while he was drinking with his buddies in Memphis at the Union Hotel. And I did a little digging, and that is, the Union Hotel was what is now the grounds of AutoZone Park, where the Memphis Redbirds play ball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I need to get back to Memphis. My family is all gone from there now.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from visiting the graves of my grandparents, there's really no other reason to go back.
Grave of Elvis?
Yeah, well, I've been there.
Yeah. We'll go again.
All right.
That estate's not going to fund itself.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, you got anything else?
No, sir.
Davy Crockett. Oh, you know what? I have one other thing. Something occurred to me while we were researching this. If you think of Davy Crockett and you're an American, it just, all these images come to mind. It's a national hero, and he's complex and everything. Think about how every single country has at least somebody like that.
Sure.
And just how totally unaware we are of those people that are like that in all those other countries.
Yeah, like, who is Finland's Davy Crockett?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? But it's neat to think that there's somebody like that out there. For at least one.
Yeah.
For every country on the map.
Yeah. France has a Davy Crockett, I'm sure.
Sure. Napoleon.
Davy Crockett.
Nice.
Yeah. And you know what? In listener mail, we should ask for your country's version
yeah,
of Davy Crockett.
Let's do that. Okay. So until then, if you want to learn a little more about Davy Crockett, you can read this article that I wrote years and years ago by searching Davy Crockett in the search bar. And that's D-A-V-Y, the early 19th century version of Davy.
Yeah, and where else, what was that website we also used to get this information? Was that?
If you look in the source list on the Lots More Information page of my article, it's in there.
Okay.
There's some good stuff. I think it's like the Texas Online Handbook, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And don't forget to go read that first-person account of bear hunting with Davy Crockett on George Mason University website. Since I said George Mason, that means it's time for listener mail.
This is about ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, that we podcasted on, and about civil rights of people forced into stuff like this. And it's from Jamie. Hey, guys, in your ECT podcast, you mentioned anti-psychiatry with regards to the resistance of ECT. Hope that one day you'll do a podcast about the Consumer Survivor Ex-Patient Movement, CSX. It's one of the remaining civil rights movements in the country and around the world. Mindfreedom.org is a great resource to start with. It was one of the first CSX organizations in existence and is still going strong today. Robert Whitaker, a journalist, wrote Mad in America, where he describes inventors of torture devices peddling their machines to various mental institutions, which held the belief that patients can be shocked or tortured into sanity. Lobotomies were finally discontinued because Thorazine was introduced as a new lobotomy through a pill.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Metrazole injections and insulin shock were torturous and highly feared by patients who received them. Much of what went on in One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest is still true for today's modern institutions, including forced ECT. Nowadays, the tortures are more subtle. I was on a drug personally called Haldol that to this day I believe would make an excellent torture drug. I was also literally blinded by another drug called Melaril, which was forced upon me while in a hospital. My eyesight was restored many years later thanks to Emory Eye Center here in Atlanta. But I was never warned about the possible side effects of Melaril or given a choice to take it or not. Today's modern medications routinely cause diabetes and rapid weight gain, as well as dependence and early death. When people try to discontinue their use, they're faced with symptoms far worse than the symptoms for which they were originally treated. In fact, many school shooters were either on one of these drugs or withdrawing from them when you do the research. I was a patient in the mental health system for 20 plus years, and now I operate an alternative to traditional mental health services in Decatur, Georgia, which is near where I live. Recovery is possible when you reclaim your power taken from you in psychiatry. And guys, I am not anti-psychiatry, but I am no longer blinded or threatened by the tactics that they can sometimes use. I believe in civil rights for people who have been diagnosed and labeled as mentally ill. And please understand that anyone walking into a psychiatrist's office can effortlessly walk out with a label that will follow them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, there's a stigma attached.
Totally. So I hope you will consider podcasting on this powerful but often oppressed civil rights movement. I love the podcast. Learned a lot. Thanks a lot, Jamie.
God, that is very interesting. I've not heard of that before.
Yeah, the CSX movement.
I will definitely be checking that out.
Totally.
That is a great listener mail where we're told about something we've never heard of before in our entire lives but find intensely interesting. That's a good one. Thanks, Jamie.
Yes.
If you have a national hero in your country and you're not in the U.S.
Like myth and legend and truth all wrapped up, sort of like Davy Crockett.
Right. We want to know who that is and know a little bit about him. If you're in the U.S.
Or her.
Oh, yeah. Good one, Chuck.
You know?
If you're in the U.S., you can still have an opportunity to write in. Tell us something that we don't know about that's intensely interesting. There's your homework, everybody. Get to work. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast on Twitter, I should say. Don't want to presume everybody knows what tweeting is.
True.
On Facebook.com, you can join us at Stuff You Should Know. That's our page name. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com. And you can join us on our website, the very awesome, the inimitable, the amazing stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode of Stuff You Should Know is brought to you by State Farm.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.